light. We open up our hearts to you today. We ask that you'd speak to us. We pray that your word will be like water refreshing us, oh God. We pray that your word will be like a hammer breaking our hearts to bring change from the inside out. We pray for revelation knowledge this morning. We come against every spirit of slumber. We say you have no place here. This place belongs to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, awesome. Let me see. Who's got their Bibles? Who's got their Bible? Can I see your electronic Bibles? Okay, I can see some even came without their Bibles. I want to pray for you after church. Bring your Bible to church. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Let's say that again. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It does not change. I am the one who changes. Amen. The Word does not change, but we change. We are changed by the Word. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word this morning. It's good to have you all in church today. I believe God is going to speak to us. He's going to minister to us. Amen. Now, 2 weeks ago, I started talking about money. Money. It reminds me of WrestleMania, the days of Donald Trump. Money. Donald Trump was in wrestling at some point. You need to go back to the days. Donald Trump was a... guys, that man has done everything. Yeah. Those of you who used to watch wrestling in the 90s, Donald Trump was there. I can tell you now. Go check YouTube. You see him featuring or doing all sorts of things. He might not have been fighting, but he would be around the ring and doing things. But anyway. So we're talking about money. And somebody who is hearing me might be saying, this guy, why is he talking about money in church? The reason why I'm talking about money in church, it is because money competes with God for our attention. Whether we are aware of it or not, money is competing for your heart, for your soul, for your emotions. And this all issue of money is still within our theme titled His Commission, Our Mission. That is what we've been talking about, and today I'm doing part 29. In other words, it's week 29 of this. And so regarding money, we've been talking on a title, A Financially Prudent Disciple. Okay? A Financially Prudent Disciple. And today we are doing part 3 of that. So if you've got your notepad, your diary, your journal, take it out. Let's take some notes. Okay? Sometimes, let me say this with all respect. We are not as smart as we think. We are not as smart as we think. We always overrate ourselves that I will remember everything. Whatever the pastor says, I'll be able to regurgitate on Monday. No, you won't be able to. But your retention level increases the moment you involve more than one of your senses. So students, hear me good. You need to involve your eye gate, your ear gate, and your touch gate to retain more than you would by just hearing. So if you can see, if you can hear, and you can write, I can tell your retention level just goes up by 30%. So if you take notes when your lecturer is talking, I can tell you now, this one you need to take notes, okay? Because it's not your lecturer, it's the Lord speaking to you, amen? Amen. So we are doing a Financially Prudent Disciple, part 3. So let's look at what we've covered so far. Number one, we said you need to develop a healthy relationship with money. You need to develop a healthy relationship with money. And let me tell you something. You don't develop a healthy relationship when you have so much money of it. You need to develop a healthy relationship even with 5 rand. So you might say, Pastor, I don't have an income, but I get something from time to time from Nesfas or from my parents or from my guardians, and it's not much. The way your relationship is with your pocket money will determine your relationship with your salary one day. Can I get a good amen on that? So develop a healthy relationship with money. So I want you to know that money is a very good servant, but a lousy master. If money is your servant, that thing can do miracles. It can answer a lot of your problems. It can create friendships for you. You can buy yourself many years with money as you command it where it should go and what it should do. But the moment you are a servant to money, you are in for a run. Because money can get you to do things that you wonder, was that me? Or something else got on me? I know young people who marry sugar daddies just because of money. An old man, tired, weary, but the guy has got money. You pursue him. Why? Because money has told you, if you want me, that's where you get me. So your relationship with money is very important. Number two, acknowledge God as your source. Because whatever is your source, you will worship over time. If your boss is your source, you will worship him. Yes, sir, when do you want me to come? When do you want me to sleep? When do you want me to wake up? Number two. Number three, exercise good financial stewardship. That comes to the whole aspect of your relationship with Mullah, with the Mandelas. Exercise good stewardship of your money. A steward is a manager of another's household. It's not yours, but you're looking after somebody else's. It's like home sitting. I go on vacation, I then ask Kumana, come and look after my home. He is not going to behave himself in that home as if it's his home. He's going to be careful because the owner is going to come back. And the owner will ask, I left 16 gigabytes of data here. Why is there only 500 megabytes left? Can you account? Okay? He was playing video games. Okay? So exercise good financial stewardship. And under that, and that's where we're going to park this bus for the coming weeks. Number one, we said, honestly earn your money. Honestly earn your money. You know, I'm not excited about somebody who comes to me with a big offering after you've earned the money in unscrupulous ways. It doesn't impress God, and we mustn't be impressed as a church. One day when we do our building fund, our project funds, you better make sure that you have earned your money in a godly way. Because when you earn money in ungodly ways, there is no blessing attached to it whenever you give it. It's like sowing dead seed. Honestly, earn your money, guys. Number two, pay your debts. Do you owe somebody money? A couple of weeks ago, I said it is ungodly for you to go on holiday when you owe your pastor some money. So if you owe me Mula, and the next thing I hear you saying, Pastor, I'm in Durban. Hey, man, I'm going to pray fire over you. No, I don't do things like that. But it's ungodly. You can't go on holiday and you owe a family lots of money. No, pay your debts. That is financial stewardship. I'm saying it on a certain level, but even on a smaller level, don't go buy the next Crocs when you owe your friend down the road 100 rand. Pay your debts. The Bible tells us that let no debt remain unpaid except the debt of loving one another. Owe no man nothing except love. Okay? Number three, we said increase your earning capacity. We said every year that goes by, you must ask yourself, how am I going to increase my earning capacity? And I said, gone are the days where we should just wait for our paycheck to sort out our bills. We've got to hustle, Bazalan. I'm telling you, it's important. Get a side hustle, not a side chick. Side chicks are dangerous. Don't do that stuff. But side hustles, do something. Get on YouTube, create content, monetize it over time. Do something. Don't sit back. We sleep too much these days. Young people, Gen Zs, don't sleep too much. Do something with your hands. If you can, if you know how to teach an instrument, teach them. Do some lessons on the side. Become a receptionist down the road where you can go when you are not busy at school. Do something. If you are a good person with hands and you can bake, start baking some scones and muffins at Res and sell them. Make some money. And you'll be amazed by the freedom it gives you. You don't have to wait for mama to buy you cologne and perfume. You can buy that stuff for yourself. So if a young person walks by and they're smelling of sweat, I know this one sleeps a lot. Because I can tell you, if you engage your hands, you'll have enough money to buy something for yourself. Can I get a big amen this morning? Very important, guys. Listen, there's a time to sleep. But the Bible tells me a little slumber, a little folding of hands, and poverty comes like an armed man. Some of us here, we have no reason to be poor. Because we've got two hands, two feet, five brains. You know what I'm talking about. Five senses. We've got everything. There are people without hands, but they are making money. They write with their mouth, books, e-books, and they put them on Amazon, and they get something. But you know, I know, we'll wait until I've got my sixth degree. You'll get your sixth degree, but nothing will change. Are we together this morning? You see, I'm talking, this is practical theology. We need to be practical in life. Very, very important. Now that you have increased your earning capacity and you have grown financially, the big question that you and I need to answer is this: what do you do with that money? What do you do with the income that the Lord has enabled you to gain over the months? I was looking at my salary over the past 20 years of working. And I realized I'm actually a multimillionaire. No, if I do an accumulation of every money that has come through my hands from the time I finished varsity to now, that's like a good 21 years ago. I realized if I had kept all of that money, I would be a rich man right now. My account would be flowing, overflowing with millions. But the question is, I'm not saying I made too much money, but I can tell you guys, if you do accumulation of all the monies as you grow old, you find that there is a lot that has come through your hands. But what do I have to show for all the money I've earned over the years? And what do you have to show for what you've earned up to now? That's a big question that every one of us must grapple with. Sometimes we are too spontaneous with our cards. We swipe every opportunity that comes our way. And that's where our money is going. So what do you do with the money that God gives you? That's at the heart of stewardship. That's at the heart of managing somebody else's estate. Let me give you an answer to that. The first thing that you do with all the money that you have received and that you will receive is this: prioritize God in your finances. What you do with the 10 rand you receive, what you do with the 100 rand and the 100,000 rand and the US dollar monies that are coming through, the first thing that you must do, prioritize God. But the world says prioritize self. Make sure you are fine And then you can think of other things. But the Bible flips this thing all around. It says, prioritize God in your finances. So you prioritize what you honor. Okay? You prioritize what you honor. So when you honor something, you place weight and value on that thing. When you honor your friend's words, you place weight on them. And whenever you're about to make a decision, you'd ask yourself, what would my friend do? That's an honor. And I'm saying to you, you will prioritize what you honor. So when you honor God, you will put him first in your finances. So what you honor, you will put first. You consider it seriously. And this morning, I want to propose to you that whatever you want God to bless, put him first in that thing. If you want God to bless your marriage, put him first in your marriage. If you want God to bless your education and your studies, put him first in your studies. If you want God to bless your work, put him first at work. And the same applies with your finances. So I want to put this down and say, if you want God to bless your finances, put him first in your finances. And I wonder this morning, how many of us here will say and can say, I prioritize God in my finances? Because the degree to which you prioritize God will determine the degree to which the same God will release back to you. Because we said he is our source. Our jobs are not our sources. And from, I think, a couple of times I've mentioned what job stands for. Do you know what job stands for? Job stands for just over broke. So they give you just enough. Just enough. But when God is your source, that job thing does not apply. Now, many people have been giving, and well done for giving. But I want you to know that there is a way in which God wants you to give, and that's what I want to talk to you about. God wants to be prioritized. What this means is that simply giving to God does not mean you prioritize him. Put this down. Simply giving to God does not mean he is your priority. I can give to my wife. It doesn't necessarily mean she is my priority. Because I give to her after I have gone out with my friends, I've done all sorts of things, and then I'll think, maybe I need to give my wife something. I'm giving her, but I don't prioritize her. So I want you to understand that giving is so foundational to God and therefore foundational to his people. For God so loved the world that he gave. So a good steward knows how to give. And therefore we need to establish the foundations of how to prioritize God by looking at scriptures. And I wish I had learned some of these things in my younger days. And you are blessed if you are young and you're listening to these things, because if you can get this right, you'll never beg. You'll never go without. You will have enough. But you need to start early. You know, like they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. The older we are, the more established we are in our ways, which makes it very difficult to convince an old person to change their ways. They will say to you, I've done that for 65 years. What makes you think it will be better this time around? So as a young person, if you can get this right early on, you are set for good. So I want us to look at the biblical foundation of prioritizing God. The biblical foundations of prioritizing God. That's what we're going to deal with this morning. Because I really want to set you up for success so that you know how to give. And then you want to give in such a way that there is something that comes back. You know, sometimes we are wasteful as farmers. We throw seed where the ground is not fertile. And as a result, we complain when April comes and there's no yield. The reason why there's no yield, it is because the ground was never fertile in the first place anyway. So when we teach you about prioritizing God and looking at the biblical foundation, we are saying you need to know how to sow seed and where to sow that seed. Now, when it comes to establishing a biblical principle or a doctrine, so to speak, it goes beyond saying something is written in the Bible. When you are to establish a foundation or a doctrine over something, you need to go beyond saying it is written. Because do you know that you can force the word to say what it is not meant to say? Do you know that you can find a verse to support your desire to marry multiple wives? You can find it in the scriptures. You can say David had multiple of them and he was blessed of God. Solomon had 1,000 of them, 700 and 300. You can find a scripture to justify your behavior. You can say it's not written that I should not drink alcohol, therefore I can go drink. You can say to yourself, you can find a scripture to support why you should avenge your enemy. You can find it. So we need to go beyond it is written. So if you want to establish a biblical doctrine, you need to look at a truth that remains true right through scripture. From Genesis all the way to the Revelation. To be able to say, do I find it in the Old Testament? Did Jesus teach it? Did he practice it? Do we see it in the early church? Do we see the apostles doing the same thing? So it's important for us not to cherry pick scriptures in order to justify our behavior. So, usually to understand God's mind about anything, we must look for when it was first mentioned in the Bible. Those of you who went to Bible school, there's hermeneutics, which is the rules of interpreting the Bible. And one of those rules is what is called the principle of first mention. The principle of first mention. So if you want to learn how to prioritize God, if you want to understand the mind of God regarding something, you need to go to where it was mentioned first in the Bible. And you study that principle, you'll actually see the mind of God regarding something. Now, regarding giving to God and to prioritize Him, we must look for when it was first mentioned. We must look at when an offering was given that was acceptable to God. So, let's go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. This is the first time we hear of an offering that was accepted. Now, the Bible says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord, listen, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now here we have Abel offering the first acceptable offering in the Bible. But I want you to know we are talking about the first acceptable and not necessarily the first offering. Because the first offering was given by Cain, right? Which God did not accept. But we are looking at an offering that was acceptable before God. So this occasion, if we really look at it through the eyes of the Spirit, can help us identify principles in prioritizing God and giving an offering that is acceptable to the Lord. Doesn't this answer some of our questions regarding, I've been giving, but my life has not grown financially? I've been giving, but I don't see much change. I'm not saying we play lotto with God. I'm not saying we play this game where God, I've given you 10, therefore I'm expecting 100. No, I'm talking about a blessing that goes beyond finances, that God accrues back to you. So the question is, how does God want us to give? What is the kind of offering that God blesses? What type of offering does God accept and honor. Implying that they are offerings just like Cain's offerings that have been given, but God never accepted them. But you might never be privy to the fact that I gave, but heaven did not celebrate. Now let's look at this portion of scriptures and to get some light. Number one, Abel gave from his flock. The Bible says Abel also came and gave the firstborn of his flock. So Abel gave from his flock, meaning that you need to give what you worked for. God is looking for something that you have laid down your life for. So Abel gave from his flock. So this man was an animal farmer, so he reared something and he gave from that. So he tells that an offering comes from somewhere. You don't give an offering out of nothing. That is why we speak about you give from what you have. Now, if you are not an earner, if you're not somebody who receives something, it means there's nothing for you to give. So Abel gave from his flock. It was the work of his hand as an animal farmer. In other words, guys, we must all be enterprising in life. If we are to exercise the principle of giving to the Lord, we cannot sit on our hands. When we have an opportunity and chance comes our way, we've got to use our hands. And God's people need to understand that basic principle. We must all become enterprising in life. Let's sell some merchandise. Let's get a job. Apply yourself instead of waiting for handouts. Very, very important. And in our country, I celebrate the fact that we've got grants. And it's okay for a season, but you cannot remain waiting for a grant to be issued to you. And I want to challenge you that when you receive your grant, maybe somebody who's watching online, I want you to do something with your grant to bring you to a place where you can be productive. Last week I said in our economies, we've got more consumers than producers. And as a young person, you must make up your mind and say, I'm going to be a producer of wealth. Do you know that some people find it easy to give what they did not work for? What you've been giving to the Lord, is it something that you labored for? Is it something that you laid down your life? The Bible says Abel gave from his flock. So the Lord is waiting for you to give what you worked for, what you toiled for, what you did not sleep doing. Many people find it difficult to give what they worked hard for. You're like, man, I've been working hard. I've got to spoil myself. The church will figure it out some other day. I've been working hard. It is time for me to spoil myself. Anything that we work for represents a portion of your life. So when you give to the Lord what you have worked for, you are giving, you are laying down your life to the Lord. I am a consultant. Our business is a consulting business. So we are paid by the hour. So, in other words, every hour I churn, I get paid for it, whatever the rate is. So, when I come to the Lord, let's say 1 hour for me, my charge out rate is 10 rand an hour. So, when I come to the Lord and I give him 100 rand, I've given him 10 hours of my life. It's commensurate to the time I've spent earning that. So, I lay me down, oh God, I give you myself. And how much of yourself do you give to the Lord? He gave from his flock. Number two, Abel gave his first. He gave his firstborn. I'm teaching you how to prioritize God here. God comes first. That's the second principle that we learn from Abel. He gave his firstborn. Take note, it was his first and not his second. So the word firstborn describes the kind of offering that God is expecting us to give. It has to be the first one. So Abel established that the offering God respects comes from what we have worked hard for, and it must be the first. So when you give God the first, he comes. You know what God does? He says, this one has honored me. So what I'm going to do, whatever is left, I'm going to stand between what is left and my child. And I will ensure that whatever is left is preserved, is protected. It will increase and he will have enough. When you give God your first, you are saying, I trust you that you will sustain me with the remainder. Whatever remains, it is hallowed. In other words, it is holy. It is sanctified. The Lord says, devil, touch not that. Because he has honored me, that becomes sacred. So when you have honored God with your first fruit, he will ensure that you are healthy. He will ensure that you don't get into a car accident. He will make sure that you are not burglared by thieves at night. Do you know what happens when we don't give? There are times where the hand of the Lord is lifted, and what you should have given to the Lord goes to the doctor, goes to the mechanic, goes to insurance, goes to all sorts of things. Let me tell you something, we all give. It depends on whether we give willingly or we are forced by the system. Siyazwana this morning. All right. So the offering you give must be first. And I'll explain this a little later. So that's the second thing. It must be the first. So you give from your flock. Number two, you give the first one. Number three, the Bible says, Abel gave the firstborn with all its fat. With all its fat. He gave with all the fat. This means that we must give God the best. So we find that he gave the firstborn with all its fat. And the fat here describes the quality of the offering we give. It means that if a firstborn was good looking and fat, Abel would give it to the Lord. Instead of saying, ooh, this one is just too awesome. I need to keep it so that I can breed better. I can have a better crop or flock over time. He does not say, this is just too good. He says, it is good and worth for a king. Therefore, I will give it with all its fat. Abel gave the fattest of his flock, the best lambs he had, the fattest and the plumpest. He did not give those which are defect and blemished. He did not give that which was torn by animals or lame or sick, but that which was perfect and without spot. Listen to me. God is deserving of our best. How many of us here can stand and say, Pastor, I've been giving God my best? Whether it is money or it's your service in the house of God. That's how God wants us to give our best. God knows what you have and he does not demand it. He watches. I've given you 100,000 rand. I want to see how much of that comes back to me. I've given you 10 rand. I want to see how much of that comes back to me. So he waits to see what value we place on him. So Abel establishes for us the basis for every offering that we must give to the Lord. It must be measured in this way. From our flock, must be the first one and must be the best. Now, when you walk through the Bible, you realize that the principle that Abel established went across right through. We find Noah after the flood, he offered the best. We find Abraham comes and the Lord says to Abraham, 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 I want you to give me your only son whom you love. God is so interesting. He emphasizes where it hurts most. I know he's the only son. I know you love him, but I want him. You waited for him for 25 years, but I want him. I'm talking about giving to God an acceptable offering. Many of us will say, I've worked too hard for this. I've waited for many years for this job. Now God is asking me to leave it into ministry. Never. What are you giving to the Lord? Whenever a church understands this principle of prioritizing God, that church will never be in lack. Never. And whenever a family understands this principle, that family will never be in lack. So prioritizing God in giving is not just giving anything and anyhow. It must meet these three measures. From your flock, the first, with its fat. When the Lord grows you financially, you start reconsidering that this money I'm about to give, I should be buying a BMW for my family. I will be able to afford a GLC coupe. I should be able to afford another house. But because the Lord would have trained you over years, nothing of that sort will move you. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you in that place where you feel like, if I'm to give God the best, maybe it is my 10%. Wow, the church will close doors because it's just too much. The pastor will backslide. If I give my 10%, that man will leave church. Come on now. So, prioritizing God in giving is very, very important. Now I want to unpack how that looks like. All of those three principles. I want to just drill into them a little bit to give you an understanding of what we're looking at here. So put this down. Giving God the first fruit underlies the principle of prioritizing God. Giving God the first fruit. And I know very well this principle of first fruit has been abused in our churches. And it has been taken out of context. But I want you to understand what Abel said was before the 10%, the tithe that Abraham gave. So we have abused the first fruit and we have taught it incorrectly in our churches. But I want us to understand what is in the heart of God regarding the first fruit. It's the way that you give. So when you look through the Old Testament, the word first fruit appears in probably over 59 times. However, it has two different meanings in Hebrew. And it's important that sometimes we go deeper into these words to understand the intent and what was meant. Remember, the word was not written in English. The Bible was not written in English or in French or in Shona or in isiZulu. No, it was written in Hebrew. The Old Testament and the New Testament was in Greek. And therefore, for you to fully understand what we are talking about, you need to go to the root word of the Hebrew or the root word of the Greek. For you to fully understand what thought was being portrayed when they used the word first fruit. So, I want to give you the two meanings and where you find it in the Bible. So, the first one I want to consider is in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. We have quoted this scripture so many times, but it is packed. It gives you an understanding of how to prioritize God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Other version says, with your substance. And with the first fruits of your increase. With the first fruits of all your increase. Now in Hebrew, the word that is translated first fruit is the word reshit or receipt. If you can give me that slide. It's reshit. What does it mean? It means the first in place, the first in time, the first in order and rank. Mm-hmm. With the first fruit, or rather, give the Lord with everything that comes first. It means the beginning and the foremost. And this makes something the most important of the part of the rest. It talks about something that is more important than anything else in the whole. So I want you to understand that you can put that an acceptable offering is given first. An acceptable and honorable offering is given first. Now you've been given to the Lord. How have you been giving him? In other words, an offering that is respected by God attracts God's blessings. It is an offering that is given first before anything else. Listen, when you give to the Lord, it's not something that you do as an afterthought. And I don't know how many of us are guilty of doing that. The reason why we've not been giving is because the giving to the Lord is an afterthought. We do not prioritize God. But what we do, we pay everything else. And whatever remains is what goes to the house of the Lord. People of God, just take that in mind. Just think about it. As I was preparing, I had this image. And I wrote this. Many well-meaning believers give God their leftovers. We give Jehovah, the great I am, our leftovers. How do I put this in our contemporary language? If you go to a party, you will feel dishonored if they serve you from leftovers. They give you an ice cream bowl that is half eaten. Just picture an ice cream bowl that it's part of it is gone because somebody scooped it and they are full and they left the ice cream bowl. They took it, put it in the freezer, they are waiting for you. They give you a drumstick with portions missing because someone was full and they left some behind. They take that drumstick, put it in the fridge. When he comes, we will dish out these. Let nothing be lost. But Rashid says, you give the Lord the first. This is how it is in the spirit. When we pay everything, and if there's anything left, we bring to church. We bring coins. When we should have brought way more if we had prioritized the great I am. People of God, that is why the Bible says we need to reconsider our ways. The reason why it is as if we put money in pockets that are full of holes, it is because whatever comes doesn't go back. Reshit says the first in ranking. The first in priority. Everything comes to that. How have you been giving? At the beginning, we all say, Pastor, we give to the Lord. But how have you been giving? Leftovers. If you come to my house and I give you my leftovers, you will curse me in your heart. You say, never again will I come to this house. What is the Lord saying when we give him ice cream bowls that are half eaten and say, Jehovah, we love you with all our hearts. Here is what is left. Enjoy. Enjoy, Lord. This is our best. The Lord looks and he turns. The Lord looks at our giving. The Lord Jesus gives us picture in the flesh. The Bible says one day in the temple, he was standing where they were giving and he was watching every offering that was coming. Heaven looks. There's a lie that we have believed that heaven doesn't pay attention to what we give. Therefore, it's as if heaven does not know how much you earn. I want you to know heaven knows how much I earn. The great I am knows the amount of money I make on a monthly basis. And he watches and he waits to see what is he going to give me? What's going to come? He waits. He waits. And he says, maybe he does not understand. He gave me leftovers last month. He's been giving me leftovers for the past 16 years. Why should I continue? There's a story in Isaiah chapter 7 where the Bible talks about a man who says, I have done everything for my vineyard, but this vineyard has not given me good fruit. I have tilled it. I have put manure. I have fertilized it. I have surrounded it with a fence. But there's nothing good coming out of this vineyard. Please tell me, what shall I do to it? Don't try to be smart with the Lord. He knows how much you make. He knows how much I make. Let me give you the second meaning of first first fruit. Exodus 23, verse 18. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. Verse 19. The first of the first fruits, the first of the first fruits of your land, you shall bring into the house of your God. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. So earlier we saw the same word, which was reshit or receipt. But here it means something completely different. The word that is translated first fruit here is bikur, B-I-K-K-U-R. Bikur in Hebrew. What does it mean? It refers to something that is ripe and ready. Ripe and ready. In other words, the first fruit is something that is well done, well developed. So an acceptable offering is of great quality among the rest. You see, you don't take the best for yourself and give God anything that you feel like I can give. So put this down. An acceptable and honorable offering is both qualitatively and quantitatively excellent. And this is all relative, depending on how much God has blessed you with. It determines the quantity. And the attitude with which you do it determines the quality. So what we give to the Lord matters. And before giving, we must ask ourselves whether the quality is worth of a king. So the devil has lied to many of us here, and that is why we don't give correctly. And there isn't an increase that comes because God does not feel honored. So how do you spend 98% of your income on yourself and you give God 2%? That is if we even give God 2%. I'm giving you an answer to why there hasn't been movement in certain areas of your life. You've got to start somewhere, people of God. Don't wait until there's too much money. Say, Lord, where do I start now? And I can tell you the Lord will give you an idea of where to start. And that is what will determine quality and quantity. If I'm going out every Friday with my family to restaurants, every Friday, and I don't give God a qualitative and quantitative offering, God is not pleased. I don't have to go out every weekend. I can make a statutory requirement in my house to say, guys, no more outings until we have corrected our giving. That is what attracts the blessing of God in your family. And people, hear me good. God wants you to be wealthy, or rather, he wants you to be well. So this whole notion like, Pastor, I look after my kids. I pay fees for my kids. I'm the one who looks after everything. But who gave you the ability to pay the fees? If you look closely, there is capacity for you to give in your finances. But the enemy has lied to us, and we have believed in lie of the enemy. Let me show you something here. I'm about to finish. Malachi 1 verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Mm-hmm. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says Jehovah of hosts to you, all priests who despise my name. And you say, in what way have we despised your name? Verse 7, you offer defiled bread upon my altar. And you say, in what way have we defiled you? In your saying, the table of Jehovah, it is a thing to be despised. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Bring it now to your governor. Will he accept you? Or lift up your face, says Jehovah of hosts. This is it. It's all relative. I'm not saying give what you don't have, but what you have. Ask yourself, is this blind? Is this lame? Is this sick? And I can tell you now, many of us have been giving blind, lame, rotten things to the Lord, and we are accepting Jehovah to smile at our offerings and continue opening doors for us. Never. Call me a prophet or not, but I'm prophesying to you. If you live like that, you're never going to grow to a certain level financially. You grow, you come back. You grow, you come back. You grow, you come back. Why? He says, because my house is in ruins, I will ensure that whatever you get goes through your pockets. Change your ways if you want to grow financially. I can tell you now. By God's grace, I know how our finances look as a church. I can see exactly there is a problem here. And I can tell you now, we have a problem. And I'm giving you a solution that will change your life. And I'm not saying this so that I have money. I have money from you. No, I'm well taken care of by Jehovah. He has been looking after me so good. So what I'm teaching you is not because I want from you. No, I want you to be well. That's what Paul says. Paul says, I'm not teaching you these things so that I can be fed. I'm teaching it for your well-being. That's when the Bible says, if anybody has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. David, a man of God, who was after God's own heart, had the right attitude towards his God and the Lord. He considered his lifestyle and realized, I need to do better when it comes to my God. If the Lord has blessed you with a job, with a house, with a car, you need to do better with your Father in heaven. David did a mistake. He counted God's people. He did a census and it displeased God. And because of that, God brought a plague over his people and killed many people. A prophet by the name of God came to David and says, listen, you need to go and sacrifice for this plague to stop. The angel that was releasing this sickness was at a certain threshing hold, which was owned by Arura, a guy who owned land. And the prophet said to David, go and sacrifice on that same threshold. Now, here's the story. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, I'm about to finish. Just hang in there with me. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. And the king said to Arauna, the owner of the threshing hold, who had said to David, you are my lord and you are my king. You can have this piece of land for free. Sacrifice to your God. It sounds like he is a man who understands honor, but David did not take the... It was like a trick. An enemy was tricking David there. But David knew and he saw it. He says, no, I will surely buy from you at a price. Why? Why did David refuse an offering which would have saved him lots of money? Listen, I will not offer burnt offerings to Jehovah my God of that which costs me nothing. That was the issue. As the king, he had the right to receive anything from his people. But it went beyond his people. It was about him and Jehovah. He was saying, this has nothing to do with you. I know you love me as a king, but I have a debt to pay. I have a king to honor. And I'm not going to come and pretend as if I have paid a price for what I'm about to do. No, I will pay whatever the price. Why? I will not give to Jehovah my God that which costs me nothing. Has your offering costed you anything? If it hasn't, let's consider our ways. That's the story of honoring and prioritizing God. And guys, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers. Go and pray to the Lord and find out whether what I'm teaching is not of God. If it is of God, let's submit ourselves to the word of God and say, Lord, I will trust you. David says, I refuse anything to the Lord that which costs me nothing. God saw his heart. And what did he do? God responded and told the angel, stop. Stop. My servant David has responded appropriately. And the plague was stopped. For the plague to stop in your life, you've got to prioritize God. You've got to honor him. Something must happen to shift things around you. You can't continue on the same road and hoping that next year I will get an increase from work. They'll give you 3%. Okay, let's finish off. So what is the byproduct of prioritizing God in your finances? Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 10. That's where we'll finish off this story. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits, which is your reshit and your bikur, okay? The first among many and the ripe and ready. That's the giving. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Two things are promised to those who prioritize God. Number one, he will make sure that you have enough for yourself. God will ensure that you are well provided for because your barns will be filled with plenty. If there is lack in your life, change something. He says here, your barns will be filled with plenty. That is the first thing and the promise for those who prioritize God and who honor them financially. Number two, he says you will have more than enough. Why? He says your vats will overflow with new wine. God will ensure that you will have enough for yourself, but more than enough for others. You'll become a blessing to many. Abraham, I will bless your name. I will make your name great so that through you, the nations of the world might be blessed. The Lord wants to use you to bless your neighbor down the road, to bless your mama, to bless your uncles, to make sure that they can praise the living God because of you. Your vats will overflow. A financially prudent disciple knows how to prioritize God. Let's stand on our feet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on now, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Is that how we clap our hands to the King of Glory? Let's do it better. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. He is the great I am. He is the great I am. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Hallelujah. I want you to know this attitude goes beyond money. It touches everything that you do for the Lord. Whether you're serving here, you must ask yourself, is this a broken sacrifice I'm giving? Is this a sickly offering I'm giving? Start with yourself now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, the church in Macedonia, they surpassed us in that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to ourselves by the will of God. This giving thing will not happen if you are not given to the Lord. Come on, just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I give myself to you today. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, we surrender, Lord, that you can have your way in our lives. Jehovah, we give ourselves to you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we open up ourselves to you. Jesus, we give ourselves to you. Let us be a holy and acceptable offering to you, Lord. The church at Macedonia gave themselves first, and because of that, they were able to give beyond their ability. Out of poverty, they gave. It is because they had given themselves to the Lord. Father, we give ourselves to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for a change of heart, Lord. We pray for a transformation, oh God, that will touch our giving, that will touch our finances. Lord, we repent where we have pretended as if we do not have anything to give. We thank you that you have given us something. And I pray that out of what you have given us, help us to give our first fruit. Help us to prioritize you. Help us, Father, so that the spirit of poverty can be broken from our shoulders. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. I want you to make another prayer. Commit and say, Lord, help me. I want to give you my first fruit. pray right now. Open up your mouth and just make a declaration. You don't know how, but it starts there by committing and say, Father, I commit myself to give you, Father God, my first fruit, to give you the best out of my flock. I commit myself, Lord, to give you the best and the first, to prioritize you, Lord. You will come first before my bills. You'll come first before I spend. You'll come first before I do anything with what comes my way. Father God, we surrender to you. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to know it's a battle in the Spirit. I have seen many people after such a teaching, the following day they give, that month they give, but that will be the last. Again, we can't fool God. Let's commit. Don't do it for me. It's between you and God. Live a life that honors God and He will honor you. The Bible says when you pray to the God who sees in secret, He will bless you publicly. When you make a covenant with the Lord and say, Lord, out of what you give me, I will bring my first. We will see changes in our lives. There will be enough food in this house. Where we are lacking every month, there will be more than enough. We will be a blessing to churches that are in need. This church should not be in need in any way. No. I can tell you now. This church with the people that are here, all of you, this church should never be in need. This church should be carrying another church in Mamelodi. This church should be saying we are adopting a church in Mamelodi that does not have somewhere to meet. We will give towards that church. But right now we need somebody to give to us. It doesn't please God. Why? We have capacity here. All of us, if we come to a place of being faithful with the little that we have, I can tell you we will become a blessing to churches in Soshanguve. Will become a blessing in churches down the road in Bronco Spirit. Why? Because somebody here has understood the principle of first fruit. Hallelujah. Come on now, let's just clap again to the Lord in agreement to what God has been saying to us. I really believe God is releasing us and doing something special.